Amen. Sure. Okay, so that kind of brings me to this morning's word, and which is quite interesting if you consider what we've just kind of been through, breaking down walls and make some room. Isaiah 54 verse 2. Now, for those that have been in show for a long time, when we were still in Sonaker, did a whole sermon series on this where we really just believe God was saying that we need to make room. One of the reasons why we are in this venue is because of that word. We said, yes, Father, we'll make room, and the people will come. All right, so we were just obedient. But let's read the scripture, Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let your the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Father, I pray even as we sit around your word this morning, God, that we will hear what you are about to say to us, that our preconceived ideas, our plans, even the way that we interpret the scripture, Father God, will be through your lens, not our understanding what life is about. So Father God, expand our tent pegs and our thoughts with regards to what you want to do in the name of Jesus. Now you would see and agree with me that this is an incredible invitation, even an instruction from God to his people to make room. To say, listen, it's great what you have, but it's time for more. It's time to take your tent pegs and set them out a bit wider to have the curtains of your habitation stretched out. In other words, there is stuff coming, and I need you to make room. Now, I think if we receive a word like this from God, if this was God speaking to you in your quiet time, what would your response be? What would you change? And I think for me, this is what this morning is about, is what do I have to change to obey this word, to hear what God is saying and then apply it to my life? What needs to change? Because so often we can read scripture and it's good scripture and we go, yay, scripture, but we don't change much. So the instruction here is enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. And then that little sentence, do not hold back. Because we do one thing as humans so often. When we hear an instruction like this, we kind of like you know, just so far. Just that's enough. And God is saying, no, I need you to not hold back. I need you to even get rid of your small thinking and go, you know, go boss. I mean, take your tent peg somewhere they have never been. You know, stretch out. Go buy material. Do stuff. Okay, so let me not get ahead of myself. And it says, even lengthen your cords. So your touwe gaan te kort wees. Okay, you need to make room. You need to, because the moment you build something bigger, your ropes needs to be stronger. Therefore, your tent pegs needs to be bigger. And if you think of their context, they lived in tents. So the moment you make it big, if that wind starts blowing, who knows the black southeast? We in Cape Town know something about wind. It's blown many volleys back to that side, the Vaal. It almost did it to me, but I stayed because the Lord said stay. All right, so any case, so many of you know that we have, Loretta, myself, and Stephen and Gina has just returned from an awesome trip to the Galagadi. If you've never been to the Galagadi, I would encourage you to maybe go do that. But in the light of this morning's sermon, I want to show you a little house that is there in the middle of nowhere in the Galagadi. In any case, right. This is a picture of a beautiful woman and a house. Okay? So it's all about the woman. It was nothing about the house, all I'm saying. But this is the little house that is right there on a hill now. If you come in from Tweede Vierden, if you've ever been there, wait, you can off slack. I'll go through them slowly. There's this hill. You're sort of driving in the valley, and this little house is there on the koppie. Now, what you don't see here is on that side of that little house, there's a groot krans. Okay, so it's sitting right on the edge there. The guys that lived there in that rock-infested place dug a well with dynamite and with a hand. And the purpose of this little house was in the First World War to supply the troops of water and so on. So you can go to the next slide. That's just, you know, you can see they build it with lots of rocks and so on. The next one. This is what it looks like inside. Now, for many of us sitting here today, if this is your house, you have to go outside to change your mind. Because, you know, it is really, I mean, it's what, about 3.5 meters wide? It's probably in the length about 20-odd meters, maybe. You can see the bed is like some of the places, the tiny houses that they build these days. If you put a bed in there, then that's what you put in there. So you come through the door, you dive onto the bed, and that's all you can do. So it's similar to that. It's very small. The next slide, quickly. This is the kitchen and area. Now, the interesting thing is, 6 people lived in this place. 6 people dwell there through the war. I think there's one more. Is there? No. All right, you go back. So a tiny little house. And when you look at this little house, my thought was, okay, Captain, you know, why did you not, you 6 people, why didn't you not expand, build on? Why didn't you not make room for the people that stay there? And hence the question that she just flashed, if you can put that on again. My question to you this morning, what does your spiritual house look like? And I want us to consider this. I want us to think about, how many rooms do you have in your spiritual house? How much room have you made? Are you living in a little small place, or are you living in a mansion? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if God wants to move in your life, how much room does He have? I'm not asking what you think your house looks like. I'm asking you to consider what your house actually looks like. Now, you can see in that little house, it is very quickly to clutter it. I mean, if he went hunting and he brought that whole buck in there and they started slaughtering, that was chaos in that house. Can you just imagine? No? I was lying last night thinking, so if they were in bed and suddenly a leopard or a lion or something scratched on the door, because that's the Galahadi. I mean, there's lions and leopards and so stuff with teeth roaming around, hyenas and so on, and you are meat. Okay, and they come knocking on your door. Where do you go? Are they even on the cliff? So, whee! What do you do? Well, that was just my thinking, but how big is the house that I am building? How much room do I have? And I want us to maybe just be honest. Why am I speaking about this? Because just before we went on holiday, we had a staff devotional, and during the worship, I saw a picture of a house. And as we were worshiping, God said to me, it is time to enlarge. It is time to break down walls. And I thought, yeah, you know, if you come from the building industry, you know that's a lot of chaos that comes with that. But yes, let's break out walls. And then God said, you even need to expand your foundations. So it's not about just, you know, looking at my little house, because there's no walls in that house to break down. Some of us actually will have to go and lay some new foundations, break some new ground in order to make room for what God is actually wanting to do at this time. So for some of us, it's not just a matter of breaking down these walls, because you've got a big place. You know, in my mind's eye, as I was thinking about my own house, I realized that I've got compartments that I've little walls that I've built on, and God is saying, no, I want room. I want you to break out some stuff. I need you to create some space. for His presence, for what He wants to do, even for people that He wants to send. If we think about this in the context of Shofar Brockenfell, what does our spiritual house look like? Do we have room? Have we got little compartments which we say, God, you cannot go there, you cannot do this, or maybe you should first do that. And we want to say, no, God, we want to create room. I believe it's time to step out, to break some walls down that limit us. It's time to deal with some limitations that have been placed on us over recent years, that the devil has kind of, you know, got your thinking in such a way that you can't see beyond it. It's time to break down those thoughts and those limitations. It's time that we take up the choices that God has given us and look through at them through the lenses of God, not through the limitations that has been placed on us. I even want to trust that the limitations that you've spoken over yourself will be broken. Because sometimes we look at ourselves, is it not true? And we think so-and-so is better at this, or so-and-so is better at that, and, you know, wish I was a bit more like them. I think it's time to break down those walls. Now, a limitation, what is a limitation? And I looked at the dictionary. It says a limiting rule or circumstance or restriction. What rules have you, limiting rules have you placed on yourself? What limiting rules has society or even the past experience over the last couple of years placed on you? What limiting rules have your current circumstances say, this is all you can do? Because circumstances so often come against us and say, but this is where you're going. I'm sorry. What restrictions has the enemy placed on you to hinder you from actually fulfilling God's purpose on your life? And I'll be honest, as a pastor and in the church in general, we have seen how the devil in many ways have come and placed some limiting rules on people. Some new ways of thinking, new ways of doing even, which hinders what God is calling them to do. Now we all, generally speaking, I guess, don't like something that limits us. But there is some limits that is a good idea, like Exodus 20:13, which says that you shall not murder. I think that's a good limit, right? You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. That's kind of good stuff. But that's not the good limits that I want to speak to today. I want to speak to those limits that really hinders us, that keeps us from actually wanting to do what God wants to do. You know, if we think back to the life, the living intentionally for eternity, what has the enemy placed in your life to limit you from even just living that out? Your circumstances can be that. Your thoughts can be that. Your you know, what other people say or do can be that. Limitations box us in. I've noticed that children hate them. They don't like it when you limit them. Rule keepers love them. Okay, rebels despise limits. That's why they live. They want to kick down some doors. And I think it's time for us to become a bit of a rebel in the spiritual realm and not just accept what is coming our way, so to speak. So let's today deal with those limitations. And I want you, even as I share with you this morning, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. To hear the word of the Lord this morning to you, say, listen, can you deal with this area of your life? I want to deal with those limitations that self-imposed, devil-inspired, ungodly, and time-inflicted limitations. Because they are not the truth. I want to address those limitations that causes you to live in a spiritual shack, instead of the fullness of what God has in store for you. limitations that causes you to say there's nothing better. And this is the only, this is as much as I can have. Or maybe even those limitations that make you believe that you cannot do something. And who of you have, when you faced with different circumstances, so often, because I've done this, your first thought is, I cannot do that. You know, I don't have the skill or whatever, I cannot do it. But when you partner with God, when you put your hand in His and He starts leading you, then it looks different. Because we serve a God that can do anything. So this morning I trust that walls will be broken, new foundations will be laid, new rooms will actually be built on to make space for God to move in our lives. Even as I've been thinking, or maybe let me just say this, you know, we actually do it so naturally in life. Now you get married, you live in this little pandoki thingy. Huh? You remember that? The square box. Okay? Washing in the trough or whatever, in the bath or whatever. And then as you grow older, suddenly, you know, you get a bigger place, you get a car, you expand, you make room, you have kids, so the tiny little box is not good enough. You need two rooms now, and then you have more kids, and you need more rooms, and so on. And we so naturally do that in the spiritual, in the physical realm, where we create room for our circumstance. And I believe this morning is an invitation from God to say, let's make room for what I am about to do. So what is the walls that we kind of need to break down? And I, as I've been praying and thinking about it, I think one of the chief walls, the biggest wall that we need to kick down, the first one that you need to go for is unbelief. The first one you need to deal with in your heart is not accepting what God says, but rather accepting what your circumstances or your reality or your limitations is dictating to you, that says, you cannot do this. So often we default to that instead of hearing what the Word of God says. We you know, when something limits us to that degree, we don't dive into Scripture, get that Scripture, and start proclaiming that Scripture and saying, but this is what God says. Mark 9:23 says, and Jesus said to him, all things are possible for the one who believes. So unbelief is not something that you and I want to harbor in our hearts. You know, even maybe, I don't know, even as we prayed this morning for the sick, what was your thoughts? Maybe you prayed for people in the past and they weren't healed, and now you're like, yeah, but I don't pray for people because it, you know, nothing happened. That's unbelief. That is allowing your past experiences to dictate what God is about to do. You see, my past cannot tell me what God is about to do right now. Maybe God didn't do anything at that point, and I don't know what maybe went wrong there, but what if He does something now? What if I do lay hands on people and they get healed? What then? So, will we stop praying? Will we stop ministering? Never. God is the one that heals. God is the one that raises from the dead. God is the one that does miracles. I'm with Him. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. So the first thing that you and I need to face is probably our own unbelief to that which God is calling us to. To that which God has placed on your life. Maybe you've received visions and prophetic words or, you know, Scripture that God has just revealed something to you, but you haven't seen something, you know, anything happen for the last 3 years. Does that mean that that was wrong? And maybe you just need to hang on to it a bit more. For those that know me, and I've shared this a lot, you know, from the day that I knew that God has called me to be a minister and a pastor, it just took 20 years. It wasn't a lot of time. I lost a lot of hair during that time, but that's about it. Grew older, grew a bit more wiser. I had fights with the Lord. Why are you leaving me in business? Because this is not where I want to be. And He was just like, let's carry on, carry on. And I know from experience that we get upset with God when He doesn't do it on our timeline. And we start doubting the call or the vision or whatever God has spoken to us. I mean, even for this congregation, we have awesome prophecies which has not happened yet. Does that mean they lie? Do we cower away in unbelief and say, but that will never happen? We've got 220 seats. They will be filled. Watch. Not because it's about the bums in the seats, because God will move and we will see people come to Him and serve Him. We are ready. Amen. We have made room. And I will see you discipling those people. Amen. Despite how you feel about yourself, that you're not good enough, you haven't got enough spiritual training or anything like that, you will disciple them because the Spirit of God is upon you. And we're going to do this together for the glory of God. Stop believing that you cannot do something that God has said you can do. He said you can pray. He says that you are more than a conqueror. He says that He's even given you a measure of faith. As Romans 12 verse 3 says, each one of us has received a measure of faith. The interesting thing about Romans 12, 3, it comes after Romans 12, 1 and 2. Which basically says in the Cobus Meyer version, get rid of your stinking thinking. Renew your mind and get God's perspective on your life. And then this measure of faith will grow. As I water it with the word, as I meditate on God's word, this measure of faith will grow. You know, who knows who's sitting here in front of me? People moving powerfully by the Spirit of the Lord, laying hands on people, leading people to Christ, going on missions, doing incredible stuff. Why? Because God has anointed you. And the only thing that's probably holding you and me back right now is the unbelief to know that He wants to do that. We need to grow our faith. We need to get rid of unbelief. If we look at South Africa currently, what is our faith status? What do you believe? Because I believe there's good stuff happening. You know why? Because we're here. And as long as we are here, God's got a plan. The moment He raptures us, plan B. But until we are taken away, either by the rapture or death or something, we are here. And you know what? God has some good stuff in store for this country. He's moving. Have you noticed God is moving in South Africa? So we need to make room. We need to make room. I want to say to you this morning that you have not reached your spiritual limit. Because with God, anything is possible. I don't know what you're thinking about yourself, but maybe it's time to tell yourself, myself, I'm no weenie. I'm not a coward. I'm not a person that is not full of faith, but I'm able to do all things. I believe it's time to embrace this reality. And as we embrace it, we will see walls get broken down, foundations added to our lives, rooms being built on. Why? Because the moment I submit under God and His plan, things happen. So what else do we need to, what walls do we need to break down in our own lives? I think another one is definitely prayerlessness and maybe not even fasting and praying. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That's that scripture there. Give thanks in all circumstances. I think we read that as moan in all circumstances. Okay, so only me and Loretta. Any case, but the rest of you are fine. But it says, Rejoice always. What does always mean? That is quite challenging, isn't it? When the heat is on, rejoicing always is a bit difficult, right? Okay, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in some circumstances. In all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you want to pray, what's the will of God? I want to show you. There's the will of God. This is the will of God. It ends with this. This is the will of God for you. When your circumstances come against you, when everything gets heated up, I always say, strike up the band. Put on worship music, start praying, declaring God's word over your circumstances. Give thanks to God for what He is doing, even if you don't understand it. The next one that I think the wall we need to break down to receive what God wants to do is actually our lack of Bible study and meditating on Scripture. Failing to do this does not create room in my life for God's presence. But it's as I dig into God's Word, as I'm at Bible school, as I do the encounters, as I sit with in my quiet time studying God's Word. I'm not saying listening to just YouTube, but studying. You know what studying means? It's like when you go to university and you sit with it, you wrestle with it, you get it from here to here. It's not all just up here, but you allow the Spirit to bring it alive so that when you need it in the circumstances you have, that you can proclaim it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I have one problem with this scripture. It's the day and night part. That's a lot of time. But I think that what the writer is saying is like, listen, every little moment that you have, just meditate on God's word. If you consider your house, the room, how is this room looking in your life? You know, is it a room that you visit like once a week? Maybe every day for like, 30 seconds. Scripture of the day, read it, tick. Or am I meditating? Am I wrestling with it? Am I sitting with the word? Am I studying it? The next one, I think, is that we are failing to share the good news that we have received. We are not sharing. We are not inviting. We are not encountering. We are not taking this gospel to the nations. In a sense, maybe some of us are just sitting on it. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm going to just hang on to it till Jesus comes and hope the rest makes it. We have received a free gift. What does this room look like? But that's only for the evangelists, Corpus. No. It's for every believer. Matthew 28, 19 to 20 makes it very clear. Mark 18, the same thing. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Who of you have been to all the nations? I can't even my hand oplig nie. I'm going to India now. All right. Okay. Go to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. You know what strikes me as I'm reading this right now? Is what am I teaching? Who am I teaching? Are you teaching someone currently? Who are you discipling? Who are you helping to grow spiritually in their Bible study, in their prayer, in their worship? Who are you teaching? And the parents go, my kids. And that's a good answer. Okay? The next one that I think, as I was pondering about this, is not using my body, not using my motivational gift to serve in the church, in the body of Christ, but actually neglecting that which God has placed in my life. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says this, you yourselves like living stones are being built up a spiritual house to be holy, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built up in this way. We are working together to advance the kingdom of God. And we offer up the spiritual sacrifices to God. It's a beautiful thing. The next one that I thought was is the walls we need to kick down and break down is bad stewardship over the resources that God has given us. To steward it better for His name's sake. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This challenges me. I don't know about you. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And I believe even with our gifts and our talents, as we sow these things bountifully, as we sow the resources that God has granted us, we will reap a harvest, a bountiful one. And the last one I just want to lift out is the wall of worry. And not worshiping the King, but rather worrying. We have become warriors. We worry about South Africa and we worry about our finances and we worry a lot. But God has called us to be warriors. Those that kick down some doors and take the fight to the enemy. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Let us not worry, but let us worship. I tell you, so often when we face stuff, and Lorette and I go there in the room, and we put on worship music, and we start worshiping the King, and we start praying through stuff, when we walk out there, more often than not, nothing changed. But we did. The way I see it changes. Because my perspective went from my circumstances to my God. And suddenly my circumstances looks completely different. So Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent. How will you enlarge the place of your tent? What will you do differently? Because even as I've been thinking about this, I've been thinking, Quibus, how are you going to do different things in your life? How am I going to do things different in my household? How are things going to change even in this congregation? You know, it was quite interesting, even as I thought about this, yesterday morning when I woke up with a couple of ideas that I'm going to wrestle through, because I believe God is showing me, even just from the church point of view, what we need to do differently next to create room, to make space. And the truth is, in my life, I need to create room. I need to kick down some of my habits, my traditions needs to change. The way that I've been doing things right up to this point will probably not suffice for what God wants to do in the future. This is part of living intentionally. Living intentionally for eternity, living intentionally for God's purposes is about making room. In a sense, getting rid of myself and my thoughts, my plans, and saying, God, what do you want to do? We need to make room as we aim for eternity. We need to make room as we see the people that God wants to love on and touch. It's time to change some foundations.